for any blessing. We'll read our text in Isaiah chapter 40 and the first two verses. Isaiah chapter 40, reading for our text the first two verses. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The ministry of the word is the ministry of comfort to the children of God who need it. They need it. We read the last words of Jesus Christ to his disciples before he prayed to his Father, before his sufferings and his death. What was the last thing he said to them? In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, that is why the people of the Lord, the people of God, need comfort. And the gospel is a message of comfort, isn't it? Tribulation. I always think of tribulation as sanctified trouble. Looking up in the dictionary today, I see that it comes from the foreign word, I don't know whether it's Latin or Greek, tribulum, which was a word for the flail, the tool that they used to thresh the grain after they had harvested it, to separate the wheat from the chaff. Now, is that not God's purpose in tribulation, to separate the wheat from the chaff in us, to prepare us for glory? As I was coming here, thoughts that I had not previously meditated upon came into my mind, and my thoughts have gone back many years. And if somebody had told me in those days that I would stand in a pulpit in this chapel and preach from a text like this, I'd have never believed it. Because I was in this spirit in my younger days, back in the 1960s. I feel it's come, I must confess it, friends, and speak to the goodness of the Lord. There was a time when I was in the Spirit that I said, if he preaches comfort in tribulation once more, I'm going to walk out. I was in that place where he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul. Looking back, I realised that that's where I was. I wrote to our dear pastor, asking him why he preached tribulation, comfort in tribulation so much, instead of the positive aspect of the gospel. You can see what a babe in Christ I was, can't you? Looking back now. Now, I went to see him as a result of that letter. He was very wise. He was very kind. He said this to me. He says, John, when you're older, you'll understand. And now here I am, in this house of God, in this pulpit, with this text on my mind to preach. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing grace. To God be all the praise. Because we need this comfort, don't we? We need this comfort. Tribulation, all in the hand of God. My times are in thy hand. That text that was preached three times in one Sunday in this house of God. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We believe it, don't we? But how often do we come into that place where we cannot see where things are working for God? Good. In the New Westminster Bible that TBS has published in the last year or two, there's more references than there are in the older versions of our Bibles. And recently, I was looking up for other comparable texts with Romans 8:28. And looking up in the Westminster Bible, all the various texts, they all referred to, or virtually all, nearly all, referred to the times of tribulation. God working out his purposes of grace, working out for the good of his people in the path of tribulation. So when we read all things work together for good, when we read if God be for us, who can be against us? These are words of comfort for the people of God who are in tribulation. You see, Jesus himself said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Another hymn comes to mind. Whate'er my wisdom does, all its attempt to do, thy guilt and ruin to disclose, one thing I keep in view, to teach thee how to live by faith in Jesus' name. Now, comfort ye my people, saith your God. I expect we all hope to go home after the service, don't we? And when the day is ended, to lay our bodies down upon a comfortable bed for a comfortable night's sleep for our bodies. God's provision for the body. But friends, what about your soul? What about your soul? When you lie down tonight on your bed and seek sleep, will you be able to sleep in peace with your God? Or will there be something like this? My guilt and sin have stopped my mouth. I sigh but dare not. Twisting and turning by his comfortable bed, but no comfort in spirit, no comfort in soul, no comfort in conscience. And how much more important that is than the comfort for our bodies, that we might sweetly sleep in peace with God. Well, guilt and sin stops our mouths, doesn't it? Oh, sin is mixed with all we do. We're not free from it, are we? How shall we sleep in peace with God? God's word declares to us the way of salvation. speak to you comfortably to Jerusalem. Who is Jerusalem? Jerusalem sets forth the church of God here upon earth. The worldling doesn't need this comfort. They don't know anything about tribulation. They don't know anything about separation from the world. They do not know anything about their need of the pardon of their sin that you've been singing of. You know, that hymn that you have just sung, 692. Give me to read my pardon sealed, and from thy joy to draw my strength. Is that your prayer? Is that your prayer? Was it your prayer as you sung it? Lord, that's what I need. That's what I need. Give me to read my pardon sealed, and from thy joy to draw my strength. To have thy matchless love revealed to in all its height and breadth and length. You know, grant these requests, I ask no more but to thy care the rest resign. Sick or in health, or rich or poor, all will be well if thou art mine. You see, if you've got comfort in your soul, you'll find a measure of comfort for your body, won't you? But if you've got no comfort in your soul, can you find comfort for your body? It's bound up together, isn't it? Well, the Lord Jesus, the messenger of the covenant, came to bring salvation unto those who feel their need. Now, to separate the chaff from the wheat. We read in one of the minor prophets, don't we? I think it's Zechariah or Malachi. And my memory fails me quite often with these things. I will bring the third part through the fire. Third part through the fire. So the wheat is only a third part. What are the other two parts? Well, one is our worldliness, isn't it? One is our unregeneracy, which has to be removed. All our sins. What is the second part? All our false religion. All our religion of our own making. All that we are depending upon, if we are depending upon anything in our own way, in ourselves by way of merit. You know, some of us, we've been in chapel all our lives, haven't we? Can't rest upon it. Can't rest upon that, friends. We may have heard our parents' prayers for us. Can't rest on that. What can we rest on? Faith in Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ by faith. That is the only way of salvation. Now, that's the third part that the Lord will bring through the fire of tribulation. Think it not strange, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Perhaps some of you are in it now. Perhaps it is before some of you. You haven't yet entered into it. Think it not strange. What did the psalmist say? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Oh, but now. Oh, how it was different. Now he gives regard to God's word. Now he walks in the fear of the Lord. Oh, he went astray. But going back to that third part through the fire. Now, Jesus said, didn't he? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The prophet, under the Holy Spirit, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Now, labouring and heavy laden, labouring against sin, labouring against the work of the devil in your heart, labouring against nature and our own propensity. Ever had these thoughts? What you would be capable of if the Lord left you? Solemn, very, very solemn. To realise what's in our nature. But there's another side of labouring and heavy laden, and that is labouring to make ourselves better, to make ourselves more acceptable to God. What does Jesus say? Look unto me. You'll not find it in those works to make yourself better. You'll not find any rest. Some have tried, haven't we? And we have the accounts in their biographies or autobiographies of those who, when the Lord began to call them by grace, how they tried to keep the law, how they tried to please God, how they endeavoured to do that which was right and to not grieve the Holy Spirit. And the more they strove against sin's power, they sinned and stumbled, but the more ever realised it, ever walked it out. You see, look unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You won't find rest in anywhere else. You won't find this comfort in anywhere else, any of your own works, anything on the things of this world. You will only find this comfort for your soul as a precious Christ is revealed to you, made known to you, and you are given faith to cast yourself upon him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There is the way of salvation. Now, the prophet Isaiah, in another chapter, speaks of it as an highway. And a highway shall be there, and a way. And the wayfaring men, though fools, and if we know ourselves, we're not allowed to call anybody else a fool, are we? But what about ourselves? We have to call ourselves fools, don't we? Oh, what fools we are. How slow, how foolish. Or, as our pastor used to say, our unwisdom, our lack of wisdom. Oh, how we fail it. Dull scholars, aren't we? In the school of God, Christ. Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now God, through the prophet, to the children of Israel, and it's there for your benefit, who are in the pilgrimage journey, who are in the wilderness journey. Or how, when we get to Isaiah chapter 40 and onwards, it can be called the Gospel of Isaiah, can't it? Because it speaks so much of Jesus Christ our Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her. This is what the gospel does, doesn't it? It cries unto you. It's a silent voice, isn't it? It's in your conscience, isn't it? That's where the Lord cries, isn't it? You don't hear it audibly. You hear it in your conscience. Your spiritual conscience. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Jerusalem here stands for the Church of God. Now, I've spoken about a spiritual conscience. Only the children of God have a spiritual conscience. Only the children of God talk of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they are the elect. Because they are chosen in the election of grace. They are chosen in that covenant of grace, ordered in all things and sure. That is why God gives them a spiritual conscience, an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. The apostle says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The fear of the Lord is to have a spiritual conscience, isn't it? We talk much about the fear of the Lord. But we need to know the difference, don't we, between that which is called slavish fear, the fear of dread, and the filial fear, which is the fear of love. A child, having a natural conscience, knows what's right and what's wrong, in measure, as they are taught and grow. Now, they may not do something which is wrong because they know they're going to get punished if they do. It's conscience telling them, isn't it? But they may not do wrong because it will grieve their loving father and mother. That's different, isn't it? That's filial fear. That's the fear of love. Now, there's a tender conscience. Slavish, there's not much tenderness in the slavish fear, is there? It's fear of dread, fear of punishment. But oh, the tender filial fear of love. The loving kindness, the comfort, the tenderness of a loving parent. And the love that that child has, desiring not to grieve those who they love and who by whom they are loved. Now, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Jerusalem are those who have the filial fear of God in their hearts. They have a tender conscience before God. They seek not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. All you who have the fear of the Lord in your heart. What comes next? Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Perhaps you say, all the time I'm in this life, I've got this struggle against the powers of indwelling sin, against the temptations of the adversary. Lord, Satan's too strong for me. Is that how you feel? Is that how you feel? Do you tremble that if you were left to Satan's clutches, oh, you'd turn back and walk no more with God, wouldn't you? Or with Jesus Christ. And your sins and the world would overcome you. Well, cry unto it. This is the gospel, friends. This is the gospel. You who tremble about these things, you who are in the midst of this warfare, you who know this tribulation, you who are fighting the good fight of faith, you're fighting against principalities and powers, aren't you? Spiritual wickedness in high places. You come into the house of God, the high place of the house of God, and Satan's in your thoughts. Satan's stirring up enmity to these things and to the things of God in your heart, isn't he? No use you going to chapel. No use you expecting any mercy. God's not going to listen to your prayers. No hope for you. Do you get these thoughts? Cry unto her. Cry unto her. Her warfare is accomplished. You say, I'm in the middle of it. The battle seems to be going against me. All these things are against me. All things are working together for your good. When all these things are against you, like Jacob, warfare is... This is the gospel. The captain of your salvation has gone before you and gained the victory. That is what it meant here. Her warfare is accomplished. The Holy Spirit's work has revealed the way of salvation to you. It has led you to seek Jesus Christ and to build your hope upon Him and upon Him alone. And you plead the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ for the pardon of your sins. You pray for the pardon of your sins. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has made you conscious of them. Now, her iniquity is pardoned. Do you know the truth of the doctrine of justification? You are justified in the sight of God from all eternity. You were justified when the Lord God, your heavenly Father, gave you in the covenant of Christ to Jesus Christ, his Son, to come and redeem. That's justification. Now, you haven't received the knowledge of it, have you? But the gospel and the messenger of the covenant, Jesus Christ, came into this world to suffer, bleed, and die to atone for your sins. He has already gained the victory. When he cried out upon the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you answer that question? Do you ever think of Jesus hanging upon the cross and those things that he cried out? One of which was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew. But it's there for you to answer. Each one of you personally before God. Can you answer that question regarding your own soul? He was forsaken of his Father when all the sins of your life were laid upon him and he bore them away upon the cross so that you will never be forsaken of God. That's the gospel. That's the gospel message. That's the comforting message of the gospel, isn't it? That Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And you may feel the chief of sinners. And when the Lord shows us what we are, we can't throw stones at anybody else, can we? No, but for free and sovereign grace, I still have lived estranged from God. Till hell had been the destined place of my deserved but dread abode. Ever feel it? Ever feel it? And thank God. Thank God for the hope that he has given you. Well now, this is the gospel message. Cry unto her. That her iniquity is pardoned. Why? Your warfare is accomplished. You are safe in the arms of Jesus. You say, but what about my sins? Past sins, present sins, future sins. All atoned for. All atoned for. You know, to get a sense of this makes us hate sin, doesn't it? When we can sweetly sleep in Jesus, and we can lie upon our beds with that blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ for our soul's salvation. Oh, sweet, isn't it? Sweet the moments rich in blessing which before the cross I spend. Was it life and peace and joy possessing from the sinner's dying friend? Ah, here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it from thy courts above. Prone to wander, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it from thy courts above. Seal what? Seal the pardon of your sins to you by the Holy Spirit's witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that ye suffer with him, that ye may be also glorified together. How do you suffer with him? When you resist Satan, when you have fellowship with Jesus Christ in his sufferings, when you mourn over your sins that nailed him to the cross, and when you flee from Satan. And when your thoughts, your spiritual thoughts and your hearts is set on things above, not on things on the earth. You say, you've been threshed, haven't you? You've been threshed and separating the wheat from the chaff. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What is this double for all her sins? Well, you may find a person is convicted, accused, taken to court, found guilty, and yet is pardoned. The child of God who is brought into the court of divine justice and found guilty and yet they're pardoned. No. The child of God is not found guilty. The child of God in the bar of divine justice is found innocent because all their sins have been washed away. No more to be remembered against them. One who is found guilty and yet is pardoned, they've still got their sins, haven't they? But one who is found innocent, not guilty, they've got no sin against them. They've got no sin to be pardoned. They're justified, you see, in the sight of the law. Now, double for all her sins. Not only pardon, friends, but your sins washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No more to be remembered against you. That's why we have in Jeremiah, and it's repeated in the New Testament, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You think, friends, you can't forget some of your sins, can you? And do not some of your sins years ago often come back? How often do we lay awake or are in times of thinking and meditation and our memory goes back to past life? Now, I put it to you. How long is it before you sigh? Oh dear, something comes to remembrance, a sin, something that causes shame, something that causes you to pray. Remember not against me the sins of my youth. Remember not against me the sins of former days. They come back to remembrance. You have to plead for mercy again. How? I leave it, it's between you and your God. How often do you have to plead for the pardon of past sins as they are brought to remembrance? But this is the gospel, friends. This is the comforting message of the gospel. She hath received the Lord's hands double for all her sins. Those sins will not be remembered against you at the day of judgment, because they are washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is the comforting word of the gospel. Comfort ye, my people. If you're a child of God, if you're one of his people, then here is a word to comfort your heart in the midst of your tribulation. If God be for you, who can be against you? Who can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus your Lord? Nothing can. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. And that love is everlasting. It's from everlasting and it's to everlasting. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Let me put it this way, friends. If he sent his Son into this world out of love to you to redeem you from all evil, so that he will have you with him in eternal bliss, is he going to leave you while you're here on this pilgrimage journey? No, never. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In all your tribulation, you are safe in the arms of Jesus. Just one more word, friends. In Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall. Yes, the good man, the best of men are men at best. We fall. We've all fallen, haven't we? We're before God now, not before each other. We're before God. We've fallen, haven't we? How often? But what does the word say? He shall not be utterly cast down, because the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That is the right hand of his righteousness. That is Jesus Christ, who has borne the curse of the punishment of God on your behalf and carried it away upon the cross. You will never fall into hell. You will never fall out of those everlasting arms. Underneath of you who fear the Lord are the everlasting arms, and you will never fall out of those arms. Amen.